Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria, from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com.
This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Welcome back to the NutraMedical Report. We have Gary Richard Arnold here. And Gary, it's remarkable that a lot of people have got a tremendous firestorm of words back to Trump to tell him to pull back. His latest tweets, I think yesterday, said it may not happen. It could be now, or it could be soon, or it could be not happen at all. Trump, you need to stop firing from the hip and let your mouth move faster than your brain. When someone smart like Mattis and your public is telling you this is a false flag. And Gary, I want you to give your dialogue on this, because we've heard from myself yesterday with Pastor Butch Bong. The last few days we had with Lowell Ponte on Wednesday. Last hour, Harley Slanger. I posted up some of the journalistic review by Joel Skousen. Tell us what you think of what's going on with this false flag, because the White Hat, Sonoma, all the foolishness that happened last year, then when this happened, and there was no counterstrike or follow-up after with this, was Trump. Trump is either going to be very embarrassed if he proceeds with this, or he's going to start a thermonuclear war that will kill a lot of Americans.
No, I'm really proud of the people, your listeners and other people that have been following these false flags, because, you know, just in my email, I don't know how what it was like for you, but there were dozens of people that knew it was false flag and knew where to go to get the information, and you know, were able to turn it over immediately. And so we got the White House email address, and I know a number of people, you know, emailed from here, but
what is your website, by the way? What's your website, so they know to go to your website?
Yeah, it's news-expose.org. And also this last week, YouTube took down probably about 20 of my YouTubes.
And, really?
No, they gave me, of course, no reason. They're down, and I'm on. I'm starting to put them up on another site here. I forgot what it's called, but I'll get it before the end of the program. But the false flag scenarios has really gotten across to at least a lot of the political activists. And, they need to get in there. It's going to be their calls and their involvement with the local politicals, the dopey Democratic and Republican central committees. And I call them dopey not because they're dopes. It's just that they don't have other information. So the good listeners and other people have to go in there and, you know, make copies of the data, you know, and pass it around. Show up to their meetings that they sit around and they're, you know, induced by local politicos to just get involved in the food fight. You can go in there and alter that, and I see some of it happening. It just needs to happen to more and now.
Tell us more about the whole dialogue of what you think happened last week or so. Trump last week was going to pull out of Syria. All of a sudden, he's back in it like Flint. It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. In Like Flynn, right? But heck, we can't say In Like Flynn anymore because the most recent Flynn was out so quick.
I don't know, Flint. Flint, In Like Flint, I said. Not Flynn, but I said Flint.
But it's old thing. He was a handsome devil and pretty lucky with women. And so the In Like Flynn was...
Well, I meant Flint, you know. In Like Flint, not Flynn.
But one of the things that happened this week is with Facebook, and I was able to put the pitchfork in that, and boy, did I, you know, I've got a monster here, a great big octopus, and I've only got a couple of legs of it. Zuckerberg was groomed by Lawrence Summers. Lawrence Summers was the president of Harvard when Mark Zuckerberg and his students, you know, came upon the way to gather, you know, data and information. But in 2004, there existed under DARPA an outfit called LifeLog, and I encourage people to get their pencils out, you know, when they get on the air here, because they can look this up directly.
Right.
DARPA is the research arm of the Defense Department, and they had a project called LifeLog, and this is quoting right from their own source, their own database here. It says, it's aimed to gather in a single place just about everything an individual sees or does. Phone calls made, TV shows watched, magazines read, plane tickets bought, email sent and received. Out of the seemingly endless ocean of information, computer scientists would be able to plot distinctive routes in data, mapping relationships, memories, events, and experiences. And when you know, there's even more detail. I sent you a graph of one of their, of this project, and it shows how sophisticated it was in 2004. But in 2004, they came out and they said they were canceling the project. They said they had a change in priorities, but they were going to still continue with the so-called software secretaries and mechanical brains, working on that type of software in the future. But everything that LifeLog is talking about here is exactly what Facebook has been doing.
Right.
Zuckerberg is merely the face for these international bankers. When you look at Lawrence Summers, you know, the president of Harvard, he was considered at various times as a candidate to be head of the Federal Reserve. He was an economist for the World Bank. This guy was deep state wired. So, and there's other organizations, satellite organizations that totally surround him.
Right.
Summers was involved in helping get rid of Zuckerberg's student partners. That's even shown in the movie about Zuckerberg. A lot of the funding came from the Peterson Institute. Actually, the outfit called Center for Global Development was a project of the German Marshall Fund. I think we talked about that a couple of weeks ago in their grooming city managers and so forth across the world. The head of the Center for Global Development is Lawrence Summers. And one of his directors is his associate there was a former national security advisor for Barack Obama. And so these, you know, Facebook is a hand of the intelligence community. I mean, we all certainly suspected it and knew they were at least sharing. But this is truly ownership.
Diabolical.
Yeah, it's the origins and ownership of these media, social media. The other person that's in charge of the position of Sheryl Sandberg is the corporation operating officer for Facebook. Now, it turns out that she worked for Dominic Barron of Kinsey & Associates, which is an analyst for the Rothschilds. Dominic Barron was a Rhodes Scholar, just as the interviewer that interviewed Comey this last week, Stephanopoulos, is also a Rhodes Scholar. But it goes right to the mainspring of the conspiracies, and not just one conspiracy, but whole aspects of it.
So let me mention those two names again. So Zuckerberg was directly adopted by which agency again, was it?
That was by Lawrence Summers. Lawrence Summers singled him out at Harvard when Summers was the president of Harvard, and he saw that was, what was being developed would work. So they pulled him in and basically start a program that was canceled in 2004 and placed under Facebook with Zuckerberg's face and all his social media to sell it to the public to get them to access to all of their data.
Yeah, so in other words, he's just another face of Facebook in the deep state.
Yeah, he's her cover. He's her mask.
Yeah, I heard he doesn't even do coding. That he had the architecture idea, but he's not even a coder.
Yeah.
Did you hear that? Some of these other details. For example, McConnell is controlled by his wife, who is she's tied to the big fortunes they're gaining from the communist Chinese. So there's a lot of dirty deals going on here, isn't there?
Yeah. No. These people, K Street. That's why. Well, we've already talked about Paul Ryan's relationship with David Bourne, who runs the University of Oklahoma, and they train Interpol and Justice Department and NSA and all that. So they've got contacts all around the world. It was like that, Fort North Carolina, where they training for officers of the Americas. I forgot what it was called. But they used to, train potential dictators and coup people in order to please the United Fruit Company and the other people that were moving aluminum out of Chile and et cetera, or copper. But
that's pretty terrible stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, Mitch McConnell's wife is Elaine Chao. I'm not sure how you pronounce that.
Chao.
Elaine Chao. And they've got a direct ownership stake in what's called the Foremost Group. And they received a gift from James Kale between $5 and $25 million, it says here, which dramatically increased McConnell's personal wealth, more than doubling it. And it says when she's not serving in government, she's paid for speeches by the Chinese government entities, and she does not disclose her speaking fees on McConnell's annual disclosure form. And it's, they can be as much as $50,000.
Wow.
It says here, in fact, both the father-in-law and sister-in-law of Senator McConnell sat on the board of CSSC Holding. CSSC Holding is subsidized by the Chinese government, and it's the world's most prolific builder of large surface combatants and submarines.
Well,
so, he's benefiting from the Chinese military-industrial complex.
In other words, he's actually making money while the Chinese are making weapons eventually go to war with us. That's pretty pretty deep swamp, isn't it?
Yeah, here's another paragraph out of this. It says James Howe and his sister Angela were appointed to the board of directors of the Chinese State Shipbuilding Corporation Holdings Limited. At first glance, looking at the company's documents, because they used a modified form of the corporate records, James Chow is listed. So they're even hiding the name so it doesn't look like, they're involved. So they're abbreviating and making those short. But
wow.
It says, in 2013, McConnell's wife accompanied her father to Peking University, where he delivered a speech entitled "American in Spirit, Chinese at Heart." So, you know, that doesn't look like 100% loyalty here.
Yeah, you're so kidding.
Running the Senate.
Yeah, you're also a comedian too, aren't you?
Yeah, but yeah, this is a terrific book. It's by Peter Schweitzer. It's called Secret Empires, and it goes into some detail. I was just appalled by each page that I read. This is going back to 1993. China was isolated intentionally. June 1989, the Chinese government sent thousands of troops into Tiananmen Square, and about 500 students or more were murdered, and another 10,000 arrested, which probably were killed also. It says
right.
McConnell was the only second Republican to visit the country since the massacre. McConnell and the Cao family arrived in Beijing at the invitation of the Chinese State Shipbuilding Corporation in 1997. And when Hong Kong's turnover approached in 1997, McConnell reassured people like the conservative writer Cal Thomas that China would become far more free. And anyway, he backed away from signing the guarantee of Chinese independence after some of these deals started being made. And let's see, here's another one here. It says McConnell was adamantly opposed to a bill that would guarantee her solidarity with free China. And he attempted to waylay the Senator Reid by suspending the rules on the Senate floor. But anyway, he's out there protecting Red China. Because as here it says, the Chao family began donating heavily to McConnell's campaigns way back, starting in 1991. 1993, Senator McConnell found himself in Beijing for a series of private meetings with the most senior officials of the Chinese government. Senator McConnell's father-in-law and sister-in-law have served on the board of directors of a Chinese government-owned military contractor. Another sister-in-law has been appointed to the government-controlled Bank of China, the China State Shipbuilding Corporation, and they have their company has ships have been constructed by the Chinese government shipyards. The crews are largely Chinese, I guess. Let's see, they're talking about some of the commercial stuff. And Elaine Chao is the U.S. Secretary of Transportation.
Isn't that wild? So
we have some real problems here. Chao had been a member of the cabinets by two former presidents, and one was, of course, George W. Bush, Skull and Bones. And says along the way, it served on numerous corporate boards. In 2004, they had an average net worth, Mitch McConnell and Chao, of $3 million, $3.1 million. 10 years later, it's $36.5 million.
Whoa. You know, you don't get that on a senator's salary, do you?
No, you don't. Heck, we got... The county administrative officer over here makes more than a president of the United States, which is outrageous. I mean, people don't know that their local cities and counties are run by globalists that receive big chunks of money to award their allegiance to the multinationals, not to us, while they implement Agenda 21.
Let's get into details on that, because I don't think you're up in Northern California. I heard the latest move, they're now talking about breaking California up to three states. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I don't know if it'll happen. I think it would be better. It's just way too big right now. We have the same problems because most of the media is centralized. It's like having two or three wire services, all the newspapers, no matter how they're broken up, feed the same data. We have a Santa Cruz Sentinel here, and it's owned from, you know, an outfit on 3rd Avenue in New York, and you thumb through the paper, which is so thin, you know, not enough to line a birdcage anymore. But it's the articles are all syndicated, you know, they're from the New York Times or from other, you know, radical globalist sources. So there's very little local news, and since this was a communist petri dish, the home.
We're on break now. We're on break. Put the break. To continue on this dialogue, if you look at all the pictures and so on, you look at these, you see a Nazi SS ring here, besides a little article about Mark Zuckerberg, and of course, down here also Cheryl Lawrence Summers, who was involved directly with him, and he was actually the head of the global policy for Google, the former national security advisor for Barack Obama, and manufactured the Indonesian created operative. So you have to understand what's going on here. This is a deep state using these faces like Facebook, Google, all these media companies are all just faces of the global intel network trying to literally capture everybody on Earth in social media, right?
Exactly. There's only nothing more than a synapse that separates these so-called private organizations with the worldwide deep state and the multinationals.
They even share land.
Even down
in Langley.
The neighborhood, and they're expanding. Outfit called Next Door is run by Greylock. Now, Greylock Partners is a InQtel investment organization, and they're the ones that funded Facebook. Notice I also have a Glenn Greenwald tweet that he had out there a couple of years ago. He says, anyone eager to claim that Obama stopped all email metadata collections in 2011 must confront the actual evidence, the fact that, you know, collecting everything. There was no break in, you know, collecting that information and evidence. In fact, it's even more so. And now what they're doing is blocking various bits of information so that people will they'll be able to start a stampede for whatever false flag they want to get away with. And what you began the program with was this false flag happening in Syria, again, with obvious on-the-ground lies that almost got us in a war immediately. I'm keeping my fingers crossed that Trump has pulled back from that and has had enough reaction. And God bless the people out there that are doing their emails and getting data out, because they are now the people that we need to depend on. We can't do it through mass emails or YouTube views. Like I said, I've had 20 YouTubes taken down within the last week, and it's going to take a little while to...
Well, you know, you can do a transfer to me, and I'll put them up my Premier channels, my Patreon, and my Vimeo channel. So if you want to send them over to me, I'll put up all your videos. I'll give you all the hyperlinks. Send all the videos to me, and I'll actually...
copies of a lot of this data.
Yeah, what you want to do is send them to me directly. You want to do it through Google Drive, and then when I get them on Google Drive, I'll upload them to my Vimeo channel, and I'll send you the hyperlinks.
Okay, I need somebody to help me with this. Thank God it was
I'm a techie. I can help you. I do everything. I can slow the speed down the audio and video. For example, here's a few announcements I want to make. The first thing we transfer my shows over to my Deagle-Network, and I strip the commercials and add all kinds of cross-indexing. I also rebroadcast it over on Revolution Radio. We now just are able to do a late-night podcast of the show on Red State Radio, and I'm going to be starting a show on Sunday. They offer me Saturday and Sunday, but I think I'd like to take the Sabbath or Saturday off. So Sunday I'll be doing a show on Red State Radio as well. That'll be totally independent.
Yeah, the only thing my YouTube, I probably lost a few, was I have a remote drive that I saved my stuff a couple of months ago. But I encourage people, I mean, these guys are vicious, and they take all your creations and destroy it at will. And
well, what I do is I actually broadcast on live stream, so they're saved not only on live stream studios in New York, but also on my own hard drive, so they can't destroy them.
Yeah, no, people need to do that, and you need to... the other thing that's available now, I used to have a DVD duplicator, and I encourage the activists out here to understand this. you can buy a duplicator, I think, from Dishmasters or other outfits out there, and you can probably find some that are used, and replicate DVDs and pass those out at supervisors and council meetings, or, you know, meetings that are going on all around your county all the time. But in addition to that, the new laptops no longer have a disc receptacle. Before, you could walk in a coffee shop and hand out, you know, a dozen exposés on 9/11. But now the new DVD, the new laptops don't have the slot for the DVD. But Disc Makers also makes a replicator for thumb drives, and you can get a ton of stuff. You can get, you know, a couple dozen movies on a thumb drive. You can walk in that same coffee shop or whatever meeting it is, or go over to your friend's house. You can download everything on that thumb drive, or you could sell them the thumb drive for a few bucks. I encourage people that want to preserve material and get material to other people to do that. They can hold a party and tell people to come over, bring their computers, or hire a volunteer to drive around to the homes of people that want to upload the information. But we need people out there to do this type of stuff, because we're in for a battle for the next few years for sure.
The biggest battle is data. But the real data they want is not just the social media. Within 5 to 7 years, they want to be able to hack into your cortex and your consciousness. Once they capture the consciousness of the population, it's over, isn't it?
Absolutely. And this was, are we on?
That's what's called the mark of the beast. It's allowing your consciousness to be captured by a globalist organization. It goes way beyond social media. They don't just have your pictures and your preference when you buy things. They want to hack into your actual cerebral cortex.
Exactly. Just like LifeLog says, they want to get into your experience. And your, you know, your memory.
Yeah, they don't just want to have a little video thing hanging around your neck recording everything, audio and video of your life. They want to record your actual central nervous system.
Yeah, when they, now, you know, they're talking about your mapping relationships.
And by the way, under Obama, they funded hundreds of millions of dollars of research in this, including the Scripps Institute here in California. And a lot of these people, to be honest with you, the doctors and scientists that I've talked to, they're knuckleheads. I am the first and only person in history that actually knows how to unmap what's called stochastic neural networks, and I'm actually getting a patent on a neurotronic circuit that will be the first real AI circuit in history. And these people, I'm not going to let them know what I know, because much of my knowledge, including the song of DNA, can be turned into the most deadly weapon in history, and I'm not going to let them find out. The problem is, I see that the evildoers in this country, people have to follow the chain up. Everybody in high-level politics, and includes Donald Trump as a high-level Royal Arch Scottish Rite Mason, and every nation on Earth is a high-level Secret Order member, right? Well, the fact is, the Secret Orders all follow the chain up to the Council of Druids, the Council of 13. The one that sits in the chairman's seat, his name is the Pindar. It means the penis of the dragon. He reports directly to Satan. If people don't think Satan's real, they're delusional. He's a very real being. He's not an imaginary creature. And he's also connected to extraterrestrial demonic entities and beings from other parts of the galaxy and universe that have directly influenced and attacked human civilizations in previous eons. People need to know this is very real. It's not imaginary. That's why Donald Trump, who knows a lot of these high-level Masonic things, is trying to recolonize Mars, because Mars was originally a planet inhabited by humans. And they want to recolonize it. That's why his name, his private name, among the Masonic orders, is Apollyon Rising. He wants to actually be the Martian president that actually recolonizes Mars and resets up and sends a kingdom on Mars, where the head king of Mars at that time was Apollo. People don't know this. That's why when you see the phallic symbol in front of the Washington Monument and the Vatican, they're all basically a remembrance of the death of all of the human civilization on Mars and the re-establishment of a Martian colony that becomes terraformed. So they form a terraformed planet, second planet from Earth, for civilization to rebloom on. People don't know this, do they?
First president to face the Washington Monument for his inauguration. And of course, he was, you know, on the letterhead of the world, United World Federalist for 13 years.
Who's that?
Ronald Reagan.
Yeah. Well, Ronald Reagan was, again, another globalist. A lot of people think he was a good guy. He's not. He's a bad guy. Although he was an actor. He was able to kind of fool people and snooker them by what he was doing. That's why his open policies on immigration. See, by the way, I've got a new immigration idea that I think is better than the wall. I want to run it by you. You're familiar with the Bracero program, right?
Yes, huh?
Well, the Bracero program worked in the 1940s, and we had a broadcaster on talking about that last year. I've got a different idea, and it came from, actually, when we come back, I'll discuss it, because I want to put this forward and see what you think. But it would solve all the problems, and it would also not put a wall up that would prevent us from getting out if we have to, if there's a thermonuclear war or a climatic disaster. I'm going to throw a completely different idea here. And I got the idea actually from what Trump just recently did when he actually sent down the military and the National Guard to the border. What we need is a cyber wall and a people wall. We don't need a physical wall. It's not necessary at all. The Bracero program back in the 1940s, they actually brought people across in buses. They'd work. They'd keep half their salary. They were sent to actually work camps, in a sense, place where they pick fruit or build things or do whatever. And if they were behaved themselves, now we got cyber technology. We could have a tracker anklet like they were, like criminals when they're released to justice. So we know exactly where they are to a cubic meter. There's no way, and then it could release it to an employer with a specific tracking number to make sure that half their salary would not be going to the individual. And we would do drug testing on them regularly, just like hazmat people, like if they're drug tested. They'd have to show up for the drug test because we have their anklet. They would go to a work camp immediately with good food, shelter, whatever. They wouldn't get citizenship or benefits. They wouldn't get a driver's license like in California and be able to vote. And the Bracero-type program, I would think of, would have a lot more staff, a lot more cyber things, so you'd have helicopters and maybe tethered drones up there so you could actually see what's going on for miles away. As soon as you cross the river, don't catch them. These catch and grab them and put them into a civil detention work camp. And then after they behave well for a certain period of time, release them with a tracker anklet into a specific job where half their salary goes into a bank account. And when they go back to their home country, then they get the rest of the money. Pretty simple. And they have to do drug testing, and if they do anything bad that shows up in any criminal database, federal, state, or local, they get deported. You know, you don't need a physical wall. You need to have enough eyes in the air and people on the ground to actually grab people. And there's no such thing as catch and release. It would be catch and detain. It would catch and detain and transfer to a work camp type facility where you could pick fruit or do whatever else you're doing because you're going to do subsistence labor here. And then you go back to your home country, you get your money back. That is the humane way of doing it.
About, what, 1.5 billion people that are probably starving every day? What would keep, you know, shiploads of people being brought to the border? It'd be a magnet because they'd be at least eating and having a job. And I could see a line 1.5 billion long, you know, 1.5 billion people long. But I think we do need to start thinking of other alternatives.
No, I'll tell you, there's three reasons why that wouldn't happen. One of the things was when NAFTA happened, people don't realize this, but when NAFTA happened, there were some rich people in Mexico. There's more millionaires in Mexico than anywhere on earth, including China. What happened is it hurt a lot of the poor and subsistence in the native peoples, so a lot of them became much more impoverished. So if you had a choice of staying in your home country like Syria, that's why a lot of Syrians, despite the war going on now that's near the end of the war, they're returning. They don't want to live in Europe where their culture and their people and their food and everything's all screwed up. They want to go back. Just like if somebody has a choice to live in some place in Mexico where they've had their family for generations or hundreds of years, why would they want to be here in a culture that's not theirs? So it's my feeling that the problem is overblown. We also need to have an economy, a worldwide economy, that allows not only America to win-win, but other nations. This is why Trump is actually talking about getting back into the TPP, which is smart, but it's not going to be a globalist TPP where we win and everybody else loses, or like China in the past, what they've done is manipulate their currency. They're even talking about devaluing the yuan. What we need is a TPP where every little nation or even island can get, you know, cyber connection to the supernet with near space, where they can get technological training and so on, so that we can have jobs. For example, one of the solutions in North Korea is not only providing them food, but also providing them farms and training so they can stop being military service personnel starving and not trained to do an actual physical job. To fix the country, you have to stop the idea that we're going to have a war crimes tribunal and charge Kim and his generals and then execute them. That's not a solution. The solution is humaneness. And it's the same thing that this wall, if they physically put it up, and we have either a nuclear war or a biological or a weather disaster, let's say an ice age, it would mean mainly to keep us in rather than to keep Mexicans or Central Americans out. And 60 to 70% of the people...
Bilateral, instead of this individual bleeding in each and every place. And usually when you go into those...
Right, so my feeling is...
And all that stuff,
Right, if every mile I could have drones up or even tethered weather systems like a dirigible, and we could see people coming and interdict them with helicopters and... Just like we have the military down there now, the National Guard, this is what we need, not catch and release. And Trump is doing the next move. He stopped catch and release, it's catch and detain. They should not just detain them sitting around doing nothing. Put them to work. Make them feel like they're earning their money. Give them good food. Treat them like human beings. They're our brothers and sisters that live in another country. And don't give them citizenship. Don't let them vote. They aren't voters. And saying that's why I get a kick out of all these states saying that they don't want to have the national tally of who's a citizen, non-citizen, and all these states are actually fighting against us. Like, are you kidding? You don't get benefits for a country for all non-citizens. They can come here and work, and they can go back to their own country. I don't think it's a bad thing. I think it's good. But I think what we should do is we did it back in the 1940s, Brazero. We don't need to build a wall. We need to have cyber balloons and cyber connection and a lot of people, a lot more staff on the ground to interdict these people. Catch and detain. Catch, go to civil detention or specific jobs. And if you release them into the United States, you need to have a tracker anklet so we know where they are. You need to report for drug testing. And if they don't report for drug testing, because these anklets are set up, so if you try to take the damn thing off, we know where you are to a cubic meter, we can grab your butt. Okay, I was a doctor that did this with patients, okay? So it's really easy to do. This is with our cyber technology now, there's no way we should have any illegal criminals in the country. And if they do anything wrong, they get deported immediately and they do a drug test. And if they show positive, they're out of here. Okay, so what Trump is doing is step by step. He doesn't need to build a giant wall 30-some feet high and see if people can't walk over it. Look, if people are clever enough, they're going to figure a way to get in the country. 60 to 70% of the people that are in this country illegally, they just overstay their visas. They fly in here. They come in a boat. They don't have to crawl over the wall. That's ridiculous. And also coming across the desert is cruel and unusual because these people are starving to death or dehydrating in deserts. We need to give them bottled water, a meal, and an air-conditioned bus to get to work in a civil detention camp or a place where we can track their butts and know they're not doing criminal activity. And then when they come to work, it's like, okay, I'm going to show up in America, but then they have the money to go back to their home country and stay there. They don't want to come to America. They want to earn enough money that they can actually have a living wage. That's what they want. And here in California, we're freaked out because in Northern California, where you are, Santa Rosa, the policies that the federal government is doing is actually frightening away people, so we don't have enough people to pick our fruit. And we're the major agricultural state in the entire union. So what we're doing is stupid policy. And it's not a matter of ballooning our population so we can get immediate instant voters. These Democrats are suicidal. You can't do that. You can't have not illegals voting in the United States government. And they need to go through. If they want to immigrate to become Americans, we need to streamline it. But we need to make it very, very data-based. You have to learn the language. You have to learn the laws and the Constitution. You have to pass a competency test. And you have to show you're clean of drugs and you're clean of any kind of illegal activity, say, for a decade. Okay? And then at the end of a decade, you can apply. And it should be a process that's not super, super expensive that the average person earning an average salary can do it. But it's a lot of steps and it takes a lot of time. You don't become an instant person like...
I think they brought their families up, so the middle class and the people weren't burdened with having to provide school and medical care and all the other items.
Well, I think they should be in these work camps. I think what we need to do, we've all these civil detention camps, why don't we turn them into work camps, making things or picking fruit or taking the buses out to the fields to do their job, bring them back to their homes. I think that we need to realize that, the world is a place in convulsions. The world economy is likely to go through a depression here in the next few years. and everybody is going to show up on our doorstep, whether we like it or not. And even if we build a 50-foot wall, they're going to arrive somehow into our country through a plane, trains, or walking. And what are they going to do, build a border across Canada? Because if they can't get through Mexico, they'll simply go to Canada and come down to the north. If you're determined to get inside the United States, and that border is a hell of a lot longer and a hell of a lot harder to block. I mean, if you think you're going to block off there or all the seacoast of the eastern and western United States, it's insane thinking. You know, all you need to do is get on a boat in Mexico and just go up the coast of California and pop off. You can walk off the boat in 5 minutes, you're inside the country.
Well, look at Dorothy. She just got in a hot air balloon with her little dog, right?
Exactly. So, you know, let's get real here. We need a lot more troops, a lot more staff. Catch and detain, civil detention, tracker anklets, verification with drug testing. That's what we need, a whole procedure, you know, streamline immigration, but it's not easy. It should take a decade, and you got to have good behavior, understand the Constitution, speak the language, etc. But then it wouldn't be a burden to us. It would be a benefit.
XJose.org.
Yeah. So what do you think of that plan? It's a little more humane, isn't it? That doesn't mean building a stupid wall that might keep us in if there's a nuclear war or a geoclimatic disaster like an ice age, like, you know, that big movie, you know, it says, you know, day after tomorrow, we're trying to literally escape to Mexico because we're freezing to death. Makes more sense, doesn't it?
Your sleep, a catalyst to improve your brain chemistry. Dr. Bill's Cognition Plus is truly the smarter in an hour pill. A combination of amino acids, trace minerals, and B vitamins, Cognition Plus is made with specialized herbal extracts that will enhance and support brain function. Our customers say,
I feel more focused.
My memory's getting better.
I can work longer with more useful hours.
Power up your neurotransmitters that have been depleted, like dopamine and norepinephrine. Stimulate the release of others, like serotonin and oxytocin. Improve circulation and energy production. Protect your mind and your loved ones today. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Cognition Plus at 888-212-8871 or go online to NutriMedical.com. That's 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com. And listen to the NutriMedical Report on the Genesis Radio Network with open lines every weekday. NutriMedical.com, bringing nutrition and medicine together.